We're up to Perek Chaf, Perek Chaf. We are up to Pasik Chaf Tes. Okay, is that enough? Perek Chaf Pasik Chaf Tes. V'amar lehem bo haboma asher atem haboim shon. Here in this Pasik, Yechezkel, in the name of Hashem, criticized Klal Yisrael for the bomas. Okay, again, it's Perek Ben. It's Perek Chaf Pasik Chaf Tes. And I said to you, what is this bama, which asher atem haboim sham, which you're coming there, which you're arriving at this location, you're coming there by yikarei shema bama, and it's called bama ad hayayim hazeh. It's a very bizarre pasuk. All of the mafarshim here learned the word, but the bama here was being used to offer sacrifices for avodah zara. Okay, so let's see the mitzudos, the pasuk of test, the mitzudos, the v'amar lehem, return to lehem, kishahayu noyadim l'leches l'hakiv l'avodah zara. When they would gather to offer sacrifice for the Zarvah, they would say, Navayel HaBama, they would say to themselves, let's go to the Bama. Let us travel to the Bama. Amarti Lohem, Mo Malas HaBama Hazos Likare Shem Bama. Yecheskel is making late sonnets. He's making fun. Why are you calling this altar by the term Bama? Okay, we'll see in the Radak. The Radak says that the Torah only uses one word to describe a location upon which, an object upon which you offer sacrifices. And that's the term Mizbeach, Zevach. There is no such word Bama anywhere in Sefer, in Chamishe Chumshe Torah, and in Sefer Yoshua. The word Bama first came into existence at the time of Shmuel, after the destruction of Mishkan Shiloh. That's the very first time the word Bama came into use. Now, what's interesting over here is the word Bama was used, the word Bama is used in the Gemara all over the place. The Gemara talks about a Bama Gedoyla, individual. So that's a rabbinic term. That's a term that was used by Chazal, but it's not found in the Psukim until after the Churban of Shiloh. And even when it's used in Shiloh, after Shiloh, it's really used mainly, I don't know the Psukim, but it's mainly used for describing when you bring sacrifices to Hashem on a miniature mizbeach, right? The mizbeach is, and we use the mizbeach to refer to the mizbeach in the Beis Hamikdash, in the Mishkan, in the Bama, what we call a Bama Gedoyla. But the word Bama was, but we don't use the word mizbeach, but it was used for individuals who offered sacrifices to Hashem, and even the Bama Gedoyla. Let's say talking about Gilgal, Noiv, and Givon was called the Bama Gedoyla. Exactly. So that right. Exactly. That's what he's going to say. The word Bama really has two different connotations. That's the discussion here. This is a very interesting passage because the word Bama has mainly two connotations. Number one is it means to come, miloshen bo, to arrive. You arrive at a location, and Bama also means high. It means elevated. It means raimonless, elevated. So here, according to the Mitzudos and according to Rashi and the Radak, everyone is on the same page, is that we're describing here altars that were used for the purpose of Avodah Zarah. And Yechezkel here is making leitzonos, so to speak. He's making a joke. When you, the people, assemble and you decide, you come, you have a meeting, you decide, you know, let's offer a sacrifice to an idol, and you say, let's go to the Bama. So Yechezkel, why do you call the altar with the term Bama? Because it's exalted, it's high. It's nothing. It's not high, it's low. Let's read the words again in the Mitzudos. In the middle of the Mitzudos. Let's start from the beginning of the Mitzudos. Pasuk Chav Tes. Ritzon Elaymar. Kishohayu noyadim l'leches l'hakiv l'avodah. So when the people would gather themselves to offer sacrifices, to have a desire, people would say to themselves, Navo el habama. Let's go to the Bama. Amarti Lohem, I said to them, Mo malas habama hazos. What's this term that you invented? Li kore shem Bama. Ha'im bavur shatem heim haboim sham is the connotation. What's the etymology? Is it come from the word ba? That you are arriving there. Ka'imer haloy, like that we're all going to come, we're all going to arrive at this location. Ka'imer. If that's what you mean to say, haloi ein likroy lemizbech b'shem bama shuhu miloshon remus v'gavos. Now he's switching over here. I don't know what the Mitzudos is doing. First he says that it comes from the word of bia, And then he says, why do you call it Bama? Because the word Bama means exalted. Ki im bavur, if you want to call it Bama, ki im bavur shebo shama esho eloki min hashamayim. If you want to use the word Bama for coming, the only thing that comes to the Bama is Hashem's divine presence. And that only comes when you offer sacrifices to Hashem, not when you offer sacrifices to gods. V'loy bavur shetovohu atem sham. Not because you come there. Ki ma ma'la v'roimimus yesh bozeh. What advantage is there by you coming there? Now, I don't have clarity in what the Mitzudo Stavad is saying, but he seems to say is that the word ba means to come, also means to be exalted, and you think that the exaltedness of this object is that you have come there. Because we have decided as a group to come and arrive at this location, that is what makes this object exalted. So Yechezkel says that's nonsense. Human beings have no value. I mean, they have value, but relative to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they are nothing. The only exaltedness there is, exists in this world is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when He comes somewhere. And if you are coming now to this location to do Averos, to do Avodah Zarah, Hashem is certainly not coming in this location. So therefore, it's not a place of exaltedness. And that's why he makes Litzanis and he says, what are you calling this Bama? And then he concludes, Vayikare, Im kol zelo shamur lai, they didn't listen to me. V'hoyenikra b'fiyem b'shem Bama ad hayamazeh v'lechozhu b'hem, and they did not retract. Okay, so we have over here a very difficult pasuk and a very difficult interpretation from the Mitzudah Stavit to make simple sense, simple translation of this pasuk. So we move time. Over here, people, first of all, what is the Bama? Don't make a mistake and think that people are offering sacrifice to Hashem. And that also can be an aver, because we do know that b'zman shebeis hamikdash hayakayam, you're not allowed to offer a sacrifice in your backyard on a private altar. You have to bring all of your korbanos to the beis hamikdash. We're not discussing offering sacrifices to avera l'Hashem. We're dealing over here, according to the Mitzvah, offering sacrifices to an idol. And Yechezkel here is saying, I know you're all part of a WhatsApp group, and you send out a text. Rabbi, everyone, let's meet at this location. We're going to offer a sacrifice to this God. So you're all going to come there. And you're calling that place the Bama. Why is it Bama? Because by us coming there, we have elevated this location to be an exalted place to offer sacrifice to a God. Yechezkel says, V'imalem lo ha-Bama asher atem ha-Bo'im sham. It doesn't make it exalted because you want to come there. What would make something exalted is if Hashem would arrive on the scene to be mekabel your sacrifice. And being that you're not offering a sacrifice to Hashem, you're offering a sacrifice to our idol, so certainly Hashem is not going to come there. So how dare you call this location Bama? And then the pasuk concludes, according to the parish of the Mitzudos, they didn't listen to me. My speech fell on deaf ears. Vayikare Shema Bama. They still called it Bama ad hayom hazeh. That is the Mitzudos. Rashi doesn't say very much. Rashi just says, Vayikari Shema Bama, Lishon Ginai, Kalayma, Bama hi Nechshav. It's a new interpretation. The whole doesn't say this in the Mitzudos. Bama, Mo Anachnu, Mechayenu, Metzikosin, Matzi Yishu, Mamakoychein, Magviroseinu. Mo means you're nothing. You're calling this, Mo HaBama Hashratem HaBoim Sham. What's this Bama? What is this? Vayikare Shema, who called it? He called it. According to Rashi, Vayikare Shema, Yechezkel, he also called it Bama, but with a different connotation that it's Bama hi Nechsheves. Different interpretation. Radak, Pasuk of Tes. Vayimalehem mo ha-Bama, kisho isi shehei makrivim lavoy de zarom. B'chol mokoyim v'ani yichati lechem mokoyim miyuchel l'shmi. Behem osul habe Hashem. Vehech mitzvah yisai b'shnei panim ba'asoyitz lochem bama b'chol mokoy ba'afil l'shmi. Also, Hitak does mention, the Radak, I didn't notice, the Radak does indeed mention that people did make for themselves private bamos to offer sacrifice to Hashem in a violation of Hashem's command. Hashem said, you only can offer sacrifice in the Beis HaMikdash. V'oid shegrivu bohem le'elohim achim. Likewise, he also offered on these altars sacrifices to the gods. Amati lohem mo ha-bama. Mi tziva eschem la'asoyis bama gevoha asher halolo tzivisi eschem. I commanded you mizbeach adoma taseli. What are you doing? So what is this all about? This is against my command. Ela she'atem lemedim mimaseh hagam. Why then are you doing this? Because you have been influenced by the goyim. La'asos mizbech v'yav shnikra bama ligav chusay. Oy shehu al horim givayim. The reason why you make a bama is because you the exaltedness of the bama is in reference to the gods.
Look at Pasuk Chavches.
Yeah. Right, that's what he says over here.
In the heights.
That's where it comes from. In the barama, the resh, the mem hay is part of the same shirish. Okay. Okay, very good. So he's saying that's what's over here in the Radak. He's saying over here on the high mountains. Ki loshen bama hu loshen gova. Kamo yar kiveu al bama se'aretz. Hashem brought us to ride upon the high place of the earth. El al bama se'av. I'm going to go on a high cloud. When we talk she limadetem mehagoyim la'asos bamos kimo yisam limadetem mehem gam ken la'asos mechol mokayim. You've made them all over. Ve'oy la'avoyd bohem le'elohim achim, to offer sacrifice to gods. Asher atem haboyim sham. Amar k'neged ha'ivdim sham bohem. Atem heim boim sham. Le'eshoy mitzvosai, you're not observant. She'enem boim ela b'mokim ha'myuchali. Vayikari shema b'amari mazeh ki lehergel ha'loshen bohem nikra af hanaseh b'shmi. Even those that are made for my purpose, Bama ad hayoyim hazeh ki nema b'divrei Shmuel ha'bamasa. Like it says, the word Bama, it's called in for Hashem, and v'ne'emar b'divrei Shlomo la'bama asher b'givayin, v'ne'emar rak ha'bamais lo saru, mehergul ma'asha osu oysa mitchil l'shem o'dezara lo hinichu la'aseisa afilu b'mei ha'blochim shahayu oysim hayosha b'enei Hashem hayu oysim oysa l'shmi. Okay, so it seems to be saying over here is that when it says Vayikarish Mabamarahim Azeh, is that the Makar for this term Bama, even when it's used to make an altar in honor of Hashem, comes from an Avera. The original Bamas were fashioned in sin. Either they were made for the purpose of the Zara, or they were made to offer sacrifice to Hashem at a time when you were not allowed to offer private sacrifice on a Bama. So the original, and why did you call it Bama? You imitated the Goyim. The Goyim called these altars Bamas, so you also called it Bamas. Even when you did Teshuvah, and you repented, and you stopped doing Averos, and then you did construct Bamas for good purposes, the name always stuck. The name was a new term was invented, and it became part of your language, your vocabulary, your lexicon. Vayikari shma bama, even when it's for a good purpose, ad hayom hazeh. There are a lot of things like that. Talk about the word charedim. Today, charedim. What does charedim mean today? When you say the word charedim, what does the average person think of? Ultra Orthodox Jews, right? But years ago, that's not what charedim was—a derogatory term. Go back even 30 years. Still is, right? Terrible, okay.
You never say the word charedi with respect.
With respect? Not necessarily.
No dati.
A dati, yeah?
When they talk about a charedi, it's not like we talk about chassid. It's terrible. I have this conversation with them all the time. Uh-huh. Never with respect.
Okay.
Dollar is the dirty word today.
But there are certain words that it used to be. There are certain words, okay, I don't know anything too much about language, but there are certain words in history that start off as a dirty word, and then over time it becomes so acceptable, it enters into the vocabulary, enters into the dictionary, and it's not necessarily used any longer as a bad word. According to the Radak, if I'm not mistaken, that's how he's teaching the Pasuk, Vayikare Shema Bama Ad Hayom Hazeh. Originally, the bamos were constructed in sin, either for the Zara, either b'shas is the bamos, and then even when things got better, the term stuck. It was part of the vocabulary, and it's not necessarily any longer used in a derogatory term. And that's why he quotes all these psukim of Shmuel, and again the end of those words. Mehergul Masha Osu Oysa Mithil Lashem Sukham Lohinichul Asafil Bimeham Lachim Shahil Bimeham Lachim Shahayu Oysim Hayasha Beine Hashem, still Shahayu Oysim Oysa Lashmi. Okay, then the term stuck. Bottom line over here is we have a very difficult pasuk, and we have pretty much three very different interpretations of this pasuk. To review, according to the Mitzudos, we're dealing over here with the Bamos of Avodah Zarah. Yecheskel is making Leitzanis. He's asking them, why do you call it Bama? You only can call it Bama from the word elevated and from the word coming if Hashem is the one who is coming. Hashem is not coming here. If Hashem is not coming here, don't bother calling it Bama to connote the other term of elevation. And what does the pasuk include according to the Mitzudos? You have to add in a lot of interpretation. They did not listen to me. They ignored my Musar. They did not listen. Still, Vayikare Shema Bama Ad Hayamazeh, the people have defied me. According to Rashi, Rashi doesn't tell us the beginning of the pasuk, seemingly it's the same idea, but at the end of the pasuk means not that people defied me. Yecheskel himself called this Bama with a different connotation. You call a Bama from an expression of elevation, greatness. I'm calling it Bama. Bama hi nechsheves. It's worthless. It's a piece of garbage. And according to the parish of the Radak says is that Vayikari Shema Bama Ad Hayamazeh, it's an historical teaching that even though this term started out as a derogatory term, a derogatory noun, it became part of our language and it's now used to refer to anything where even when it's built L'shem Shemaim, it's still called a Bama. Now, I can't hold back from telling you that what we learned in Sefer Yeshaya, I'm not even sure what I'm telling you is rooted in I always thought it was in the Mitzudos and of Shimon Schwab. Maybe it's not. But the idea, there's definitely truth to the idea. And perhaps you can inject that Musar into this pasuk here as well. What was the idea that we discussed a few times? It's a very sadistic idea. We have to add Sefer Melachim. When the king died, there's a brief synopsis of their accomplishments. If they were a good king, they were a bad king. And some of the kings, it says they were very evil. And even the good kings, what's going on with this thing over here? And even the good kings, it says they were very good. Rak habamos loisar. In fact, Radak quoted one of those psukim. They were very, very good. They were tzaddikim, but they were unsuccessful in removing the bamos from Klal Yisrael. There was a Beis HaMikdash, and Mizman was a Beis HaMikdash. You're not allowed to offer private sacrifice on a private altar. It must be offered only in the Beis HaMikdash. So the kings were unsuccessful in preventing people from offering private sacrifices on bamos. So why didn't the kings, why were they unable to stop them? So the answer, so simple answer is because better save your battles for more important things. Rabbi Berlwein, he says that a rabbi, when he retires, he has to have some arrows left in his quiver. Mm-hmm. If he doesn't have any arrows left in his quiver, then it's not a good sign. You don't fight every battle. It's not worth fighting every battle. You have to only fight the big battles. Sometimes it's not kedai to fight little battles. Like the classic example is that people are reading the handouts and shul on the table during Chazar Sashatz. Is it really kedai to go and scream at the balabatim? You're not allowed to be reading the pamphlets on the table in the middle of Chazaras Hashatz. You're supposed to be paying attention to the Chazaras Hashatz. You're not supposed to be reading. So better they read than they talk and they text and they do other things. Is it really kedai to go in and put up a fight for something like this? So the Nevi'im also, listen, it's an Avera. It's a terrible Avera to offer a sacrifice outside the Beis HaMikdash. But at least they're doing it l'shem shemayim. At least they're not worshiping idols. At least they're not killing each other. At least they're not watching on the internet. as long as they're doing all the other things, it's not kedai to fight. Is that really the pshat? Okay, all the mafarshim say that. They say that over and over. But it's a little bit bizarre that every king, it's like the last thing. They were tzaddikim, rak habamoy sloisaru. So I saw a pshat. I told you this a few times. It's rooted in the Mitzudah Sovereign, and your pshat elaborates. I'm not sure. You have to find where this is. If it's really true, is David Hamelech? He with Nasan Hanavi, they found the location of the final resting place of the Shechina. L'shichnai Sidrashu Uvasa Shama. The Beis Hamikdash, the final resting place, is in Yerushalayim. It does not say anywhere in Chamishei Chumshei Torah that Yerushalayim is going to be the final resting place of Hashem's Shechina. It doesn't say it. How do you know? They came into Eretz Yisrael, they went to Gilgal for 14 years. They established the Mishkan in Shiloh. Then they went to Noim, went to Givayim, Ir David. Who says that the location where the Mizbech is found today, the Temple Mount, the Kaisel HaMaravi, who says this is Hashem's final resting place? All it says in Torah is, L'shichnai Sidrashu Uvasa Shama. So maybe after they come to Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim is just another Shiloh, just like Shiloh, for a couple of hundred years, and then from there, they'll go on and they'll find a new location where to build the Beis Hamikdash. Maybe it's in Tel Aviv. Maybe it's in Eilat. Maybe it's in Beis Shemesh. Maybe it's on the West Bank somewhere. Where exactly is the final resting place of the Beis Hamikdash? Doesn't say. David HaMelech, Alpi Ruach HaKodesh, together with Nosan Hanavi, determined that the field of Aravna, this is the final resting place. This is what it means in the Pasuk, L'shichnai Sidushu Vosa Shama. Now we take this for granted, we're brainwashed, of course. But at the time when this happened, it was not necessarily so. People were not convinced. There was a lot of opposition against David.
The Arabs are still not convinced.
Okay, they are, but even amongst Klal Yisrael, there was a lot of opposition to David. Until even Shlomo, he built the Beis HaMikdash, the doors did not open. The doors didn't open to accept the Aron HaKodesh. And all of David's enemies were smiling from ear to ear. You see, we told you that David is not legitimate. David, Loyavai Amoni Umavi Bekahal Hashem, he's illegitimate. And David's going, Aruch HaKodesh, going to figure out where, L'shichnai Sidushu Vos HaShama. There was a lot of opposition. We didn't live in the time. If we were living in the time, we wouldn't be masig. Who knows what side we would be on? If we were living in the time of Korach, whose side would we be with? Whose side would we be on? On Korach's side or on Moshe Rabbeinu's side? They say that we will be in Korach's side. Okay, you had to be a real, real tzaddik, to be on Moshe's side wasn't so pashit. So who says we would be on David's side? We would be with the opposition. Who knows? There was opposition. And therefore, even after they built the Beis HaMikdash and the Shechina was resting, people said, yeah, okay, very good. But this is not the Gemara. It's nothing more than a Bama Gedoyla. It's a Bama. It's a Bama. It's like Shiloh, Noiv Givayn. And Mimela, when you have a Bama, are you allowed to offer sacrifices in your backyard? Yes. If Klal Yisrael does not have a Bama Gedoyla, Shiloh was a Bama Gedoyla, but during the time of Noiv Givayn, were you allowed to offer a sacrifice in your backyard? When the Mishkan was in Gilgal, were you allowed to offer a sacrifice in your backyard? You were allowed to. As long as you didn't have a Bama Gedoyla like Shiloh, you're allowed to go in your backyard, make a Mizbech, be perfectly square. It's a big business. Get someone to come make a perfectly square Mizbech. And when you want to go, when you offer carbonos. So therefore, people said, yeah, it's very nice. The Beis HaMikdash is impressive. It's very nice, magnificent. But the Beis HaMikdash is really no different than Noiv Givayn. It's no different than Gilgal. And Mimela, L'may Nafkamina, if it's not the Mikdash or the Mishkan, it's just a Bama, we are permitted to offer in our backyard a sacrifice on a Bama Kitana.
Why don't we do it now?
No, because they were wrong. First of all, they were wrong. And also, even after there was a Beis HaMikdash, then it becomes forbidden forever. So when it says, so it's a very deep statement. So now when it says, Rak HaBamois Loisaru, do you know what that means? It means these Malachim were with Tzadikim, but they failed to convince Klal Yisrael that this is it. That this is the final resting place of the Shechina. It's not just them. These were very great malachim. It's just they were not able to convince the people to stop talking during Chazaras Hashatz. That's really what it means according to the simple interpretation, which is very bizarre. Well, that's what you have to go mention in Tanakh. Every single king, very great king, the king was a tzaddik, but you know, Chazaras Hashatz in Shul, they were talking during davening. Alright, you have to go. Oh, no, it's something fundamental. There's something fundamental in Klal Yisrael. Rak HaBamos LoSaru, they could not convince the people, this is it. This is the final resting place. This is where the Shechina is. And now, we're done. Let's bring Mashiach. Mm-hmm. Let's bring the world to a state of perfection. Chizkiyahu succeed. That's the one who succeeded in convincing Zehu. That's why he could have been Mashiach. That's why he was meant to be Mashiach, because it says by Chizkiyahu, he was able to remove the Bamos, meaning he convinced, this is Taka, L'shichnai Sidushu Uvasa Shama. Okay, this is it's a very deep idea. It's rooted in Mitzudos David and Sefer Yeshaya, and Rav Shimon Schwab, Zeichas Ag Levracha, he elaborates upon this idea. It takes on a whole new meaning. Now, when you take that idea and you inject it here into this Pasuk, So besides the three perush that we've given Rashi, Mitzudos, and the Radak, you can it takes on. You can maybe learn that's also a pshat in this pasuk. Because remember, they came over here into Eretz Yisrael. Over here, Hashem, they came into Eretz Yisrael. They did Avodah Zarah. But besides doing Avodah Zarah, even the Beis Hamikdash, the pasuk is criticizing. You did not believe that this is it. You did not believe you've come to the very end. What's what are you building bamos? What are these bamos? You can little let alone like the Mitzvahs. They didn't listen to me. The people continue to call it Bama. Ad Hayom Azeh. They still continue to maintain these small altars because they does not believe this is the Gemara. And you can say the same idea when it comes to, let's talk about Eretz Yisrael, all about the most they say, but Eretz Yisrael is Man Hazeh. Like this is it. What are you waiting for? We have an Eretz Yisrael now. Baruch Hashem has given us autonomy in Eretz Yisrael. So why are we, myself included, why are we so hesitant in taking full advantage of what we have to mamash bring Mashiach? Why don't we all go and make Aliyah and live there and tell the world, you know, and just go to Mashiach is not, it's not yet the Zman. Okay, there's like this touch on Satma, you know, you're not supposed to, you know, you have to wait for it to come in Hashemayim. It has to, an Eish in Hashemayim has to come down. Really? Is that the proper approach? Maybe there is a need for us to do more Hishtadlos. This is it. This is it. This is the calling. HaKadosh Baruch Hu kol dodi hinei doifek. Okay, this is it. So what more are you waiting for to go the next step? Next pasuk. Pasuk lam. Therefore, emorial base. Now this is the wind down. This is the wind down of the entire parak. Therefore, emorial base. Yisrael koyim Hashem lukim ha. Now these psukim go together. Ha bederech avoyseichem. He's saying these are rhetorical statements. Do you think that Avera, you're going to be rewarded for doing Averos? Habederech avoseichem atem nitzmoim. Do you think that through contaminating yourself in the sins of your forefathers, the acharei shikutzehem atem zoinim, and through straying after all of these disgusting things, we have to read the next pasuk. Pasuk lamnaf uvis es matnois seichem. And do you think that through offering gifts, what gifts? And the pasuk explains the gifts are behavir b'neichem bo'esh, by passing your children to fire to the avodah zarah moilich, which through whom atem nit me'im, you become contaminated l'chol giluleichem. Ad Hayom, do you think all of this is going to allow me to answer your requests? Va'ani idoreish lochem beis Yisrael. It's very the psukim. It's not easy to read the psukim. You have to read the psukim as one big chunk, and then take individual words and translate it backwards. Chayoni nu ma'ashem elokim. In idoreish lochem, I will certainly not allow myself to be seeked out by you. In other words, are you really so foolish to think that you can come daven a Shemoneh Esrei, a long Shemoneh Esrei, and expect that I should answer your tefillos after you've done the worst averos? What do you think? What's going on over here? You do the worst averos. You do avodah zarah. You do a gilei raya, shvichas damim. You offer your children as sacrifices to the gods. You don't devote your children for Talmud Torah. And then you come and you daven a long Shemoneh Esrei, all wrapped up in your talis and your most beautiful tefillin and the garatel and your shakel, and Hashem doesn't answer you. Oh, you blame Hashem. Hashem, you're the problem. That's exactly what this pasuk over here says. Hashem says you're a bunch of fools. It doesn't work like that. You have to first do mimikayim the mitzvos, and then I will allow myself to be sought out by you. Okay, let's see these psukim together. Starting with pasuk lamed in the mitzudos stavit. The pasuk lamed says lechayin for emor elchayin emor el bnei Yisrael habederech v'chi ba'avur. Do you think that through doing averos Hashem is going to answer your prayers? Ba'avur she'atem nit me'im. You contaminate yourself. Lo leches b'derech avoseichem. V'acharei pesileihem atem zanim lo avdam. You worship their gods. Kiderech isha hazayna tachas bala uvisayis uvavush tishuras matmel seichem. And through the offering of gifts, v'chayzim mafarish b'masha atem ma'avirim. What are the gifts that I am referring to? I'm referring to giving your children as a sacrifice to a moilich. Ma'avirim b'nehem bo'esh l'chol gilu leichem. Boze atem nitme'im ad hayom. Through these sins you have brought upon yourself contamination until today. Mm-hmm. Are you so foolish to think that I'm going to answer your prayers? Chayoni, I swear to you, I will not answer your prayers. Rashi pasuk lamid habederech avoseichem l'shon timia. This is a rhetorical statement. Kach hogun, is it proper? Is it really correct? Shebederech avoseichem atem nitzmeim, that you contaminate yourself in the sins of your fathers. Vani idoresh lochem lohashiv al shelaschem. I shall answer your prayers. Uvisais matnaseichem uvilikichas matnaseichem, and through the taking of the gifts shahoyel lochem loseis li, you take the gift that was meant to be given to me and you give it to an idol. The children that you're supposed to redeem, peterechem, called peterechem, you're supposed to do pinyin pinyin aben, you give these same children of the zara, v'atem lechem oisam mimeni lahavir b'choy roseichem, lahavoy the zara. Do you really think I'm going to answer your prayers? It's totally, you're totally off base. Mitzudo radak, pasik lamid, pasik l'chem, therefore, emar el beis Yisrael, al oisam shoyu adayim baritz Yisrael amar, k'moshe pirashnu, amar ich idoresh lochem, v'atem adayin birish aschem. So he Radak is following his Lashitasa. There's a previous opinion. He going back in the beginning of the parak, he said the people that are coming to be mispalel, who are coming to Yechezkel, are coming to pray on behalf of the people who live in Eretz Yisrael, that they should not be destroyed, the Beis Hamikdash should not be destroyed, they should not go into Golus. So Hashem says, no, I can't help you. The people who married Yisrael, they're Rishoyim. Nitzmeim b'shvo hamem, he's a diktuk, radak kmo hanimtzim b'shushan u'b'seis matnoseichem inyin hanetilo v'atuma. The word matnoseichem means the giving of the gifts. V'nitzmeim, okay, that's also a diktuk b'shvo hamem. Okay, now we come to pasuk lamed beis. Pasuk lamed beis is a very critical pasuk. V'ho'ila al ruchachem. This pasuk was quoted by Rashi in the very beginning of the parrot. This thought that has entered your mind, hayolo siya, is incorrect. What's the thought that entered your mind? Asheratem oimrim niya chagoyim, let us be like the goyim, ki mishpuchos harotzos, lishareis to serve, lishareis to serve eitz vo'even, to serve eitz vo'even. In other words, before we see the mitzudos, Klal Yisrael said, since you have sent us into Golus, it's like selling your slave. Once a master sells his slave, the slave has no more obligations to his original master. Once a man divorces his wife, she has no obligations towards her husband. Hashem, you have sent us into exile. We have no longer any obligation to be mekayim the mitzvos. We are now free to worship idols. And there are no consequences. We're not going to be punished. Hashem says, you're dead wrong. I never sold you. I never divorced you. You're still mine. Just because you are in exile, you're still my property. And you have an obligation to mekayim the mitzvos 100%. Mitzudos tov pasuk lamed beis. V'ho'ila al ruchachem. V'ho'ila im kol zeh. Despite all of the tzaras, all of the difficulties that you endure, Ha'ila al machshavaseichem, this thought that has come across your mind, lo tiskayim, is incorrect. What is the thought? V'huma sha'atem oimrim, this that you said in the beginning, hoil v'hamokim shlach oisanu me'alpim ponav, since Hashem has dismissed us, niye imkein kigoyei ho'aretzos. Therefore, we have no obligations to you, Hashem. We can do whatever we want. We can be like the goyim. We can worship la'avoid pisile eitzva, heaven, to worship idols, kimoysam. And we no longer are under Hashem's jurisdiction, under Hashem's gaze. We'll be left to fate. We'll be left to to whatever, to just a coincidence. And we'll follow the mazolos, we'll follow the stars. In other words, now that you Hashem have put us in exile, we no longer have an obligation to be mispal to you, we no longer have an obligation to mivakesh for you to bring us Yeshua. We will just fall and just everything will be by coincidence, will be by luck, like by chance, else. Like everyone else. So Hashem says, no way, I'm not going to allow this to happen. That next pasuk will elaborate in much more detail. Let's see Rashi pasuk on the base says, V'ilal v'zuruchachem, v'sha'ola al datchem, niyeh chagoyim, nifroik uloi me'al tzavarein. Rashi here is very explicit. We will break off the yoke from our necks, me'achar she'shilchonu me'alav, after that you have dismissed us and exiled us. We're no longer going to be mekabel the oil malchus shemayim. Hashem says, "No way, hayoy lo siya ki kivar ki baltem aleichem midatchem bimei Yehoshua. You have already accepted this some time of Yeshua, k'mo shenemar vayesof Yeshua es kol shifte Yisrael v'chol inyan." So he is learning Rashi that that's exactly the bris that Yeshua made with Klal Yisrael. That even in the event that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will exile the Jewish people, they are still bound to keep his mitzvahs. Now the Maral, over here they actually have, in this edition, they have actually the Maral, they have parts of the Maral, and the Maral says, very chiddush, and this is what it means, Kaf Aleim, the Maral is in, Aleim Har Chagigis. Har Chagigis is that when Hashem, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to put the mountain upon them against their will? So Pashup Shan is because they had Charata. They were terrified of what was happening. They had Charata. The Maral says no. The Kaf Aleim Harka Gigis was to tell them that it's going to be a time when you're not going to when there will be Galus, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to dismiss you, and you're going to make exactly this argument that if you have dismissed us, we have no duty, we have no obligation. That's the Kaf Aleim Harka Gigis. Even when you are in Golus, you have no choice, and it would appear that I have not kept my part of the deal because you've been dismissed. It doesn't matter. You are still meshubad to do Hashem's rotzai. Let me see if I can read the words. His words are powerful words.
He made the deal irrevocable.
Even at times of Golus. I just had it here a moment ago. Let's see Radak. Radak and Pasik Chav Tes. Okay, good. Radak and Pasik Lamid Abeis. The Lamid Abeis says, "Va'ol al ruchachem hayo lo siya hamachashava hara'a she'ol al ruchachem lo tia v'lo tischena." What is the thought? Al ruchachem. The word ruchachem is another expression to describe your thoughts. Kimo al levavchem. The thought, a hearer, udisilekas al libchon, would came up upon your heart. Kodama before me, galdian is revealed. Atun, I mean, this that you think in your mind is revealed before me. And also, a very interesting point over here is Hashem knows a person's machashavas. There are apikorsim out there who think that no, Hashem does not know what you think. Do malachim know what you think? Do angels know what you think? Do dead people know what you think? They always say, go to a levaya, so they tell you, the Mekubalim tell you, is that the levaya, the mace is there. The nifter is there, and the nifter hears and sees everything that's going on. And you should be at your best behavior. A person goes to a levaya, it's a very big bazillion for a person, for himself, to sit in the chapel, and while they're waiting for the levaya to begin, take out a smartphone, to text, to talk, to schmooze with your next door neighbor. Don't you realize the mace is standing, is lying right in front of you, a few rows in front of you, and Chazal say that the neshama hovers over the body and sees everything. It sees you, it sees the people, they say it's fascinated, totally fascinated with what is happening to its body and the entire proceedings. That's why he asks mechila, v'chulu, v'chulu. So it's a very frightening thing to be at your best behavior in the presence of a mace. And that's the fact why the Chevra Kadisha, they have a very difficult job to properly take care of the needs of the niftar, their kavod, and not to not to insult, not to be mazalzel in the covenant. That's why, in fact, they even asked mechila. The chaver kadisha, they asked mechila from the nifter, just in case that when we did the tahara, it was not in their covenant, you should forgive us. And that's one of the things that they do also on the Zayin Adar. Zayin Adar, the ancient was to go to the Beis HaKvaris and to be mevakish mechila from the mason. And just in case we were not nizer in your kavod, you still have some lingering tainus on us from whatever it was, you should forgive us. So I always wondered, I asked to myself in the Chavak Nisha, does it say anywhere that the mason know your thoughts? Do they know? You go to Leviathan, or the mason, or do they know what you're thinking? Do they know? So he told me he doesn't know. He has no idea. He doesn't know the answer to the question. But here, Hashem certainly knows what you are thinking. It's not so easy to find the pasuk that says that this is correct, even though we have a tradition that it's true, of course. But here you have an explicit pasuk, v'ho'ila al ruchachem. This machshava that has come upon your ruach, which is synonymous with your heart, your mind, hearer, I'm telling you, is dead wrong. And back to the Radak. You think that you can leave my jurisdiction. It's a very big nisan. You witness that the goyim are very successful. Ochos said, look, Aram are successful. It must be that their God is very great. So why don't we, if he can't beat them, join them? If we can't beat them, so we might as well also sacrifice offerings to the God of Aram, and that God will come to our aid. This is a very big nisayon. So what does Rashi go on to say? Radak go on to say, V'lo chein hadavar. You're making a very big mistake. Ki umos olam einenu mashkiach aleihem. Hashem says, I do not pay attention. I don't care about the goyim. Why? Mipechisusam. It's because they're not worth anything to me. They're low in my eyes. And therefore, I do not involve myself directly with their existence. I give over their existence, their protection. I give over their hanhaga to malachim, to intermediaries. Kimo habehemos. They're just like animals. Ella kishayesh lohem davar al Yisrael, lifkud alehem avoinam, kishayeshul oisim ritsoini. The only time I intervene and I am directly involved in the dealings of the non-Jews is when the non-Jews are dealing with my people, with Klal Yisrael. When I want to reward Klal Yisrael, then I intervene and I cause things to happen among the Gumus Olam in order they should intervene. Avo kishayevrim al mitzvaysai. But when the Klal Yisrael transgresses my mitzvot, Agbir HaGoyim Aleihem, I allow the Goyim to be successful, to prevail. V'hatzlochasam lo l'tovasam. And the success that the Goyim enjoy is not for their benefit. Elo l'ras Yisrael, it's only for the harm of Klal Yisrael. Avlehem v'atzlom lo yashkiach aleihem, elo imken yeh chomos gadol. The only time Hashem says, I will intervene and bring upon them punishment is if there is very great violence. Kimoider Hamabul, Usedoim, Vaamoira, Vahin Mosim de Rahayam Senu, Shani Goyim Dolo Mafki Dina Alayhu. The Goyim are different. That Hashem does not visit punishment upon the Goyim. Hashem does not involve himself in what happens to them. Aval Yisrael, Shalakhtim, Mibes Avodim, Liosli Laam, Segulumikola Amim, my chosen people, Vani Ehyelohem Lilokim, Einai Tomid Alehem. L'toiva ulera, k'mo she'omar b'nevuos omos, rak eschem yodati mikol mishpuchos ho'adamah, kein efkud aleichem, eskol avoneseichem, since I know you, you are my people, I'm going to punish you for your sins. V'yimtir tzula seis me'avodasi, if you think you're going to remove yourself from my service, you're making a big mistake, lo etein lochem rishus b'zeh, I do not give you permission. Ki af al pish shetiyu yom rabi magolos, even though you're in golos for many, many years, bein ho'amim lo tishbesu miyos goy, you will not cease from being my chosen nation, ki afilu yetsu ma'atim mikem min haklal, even if a few of you leave the fold, kilalchem yiyeh goy lefonai kol hayamim. The nation as a klal will always be my chosen nation. Uvichozoko, and now he's entering into the next pasuk, I will rule upon you with strength. Emloich aleichem, ve'etzroif eschem, I will purify you, When I remove you from Galus, it's not going to be easy. There's going to be a degree of purification which involves Yisurim. Hamordim, I will select those who rebel. I will select those who rebel against me and remove them, and everyone else will be redeemed to come back to Eretz Yisrael. This Radak is an amazing Radak. If you don't realize what we just said over here, the Radak is Mamash, he's laying out Yesoides. Mamash, major Yesoides in the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Sanhaga of the world. There is us and there is them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not involve himself in the dealings of the Umos Olam. He writes here, in Hashem's eyes, they're like animals. We all understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not, this whole sugya is their hashkocha protis for an animal. The animal wanders the street, go out into the Amazon, all these creatures roaming around. Is their hashkocha protis in the animals? This is a very big debate among the Rishonim. The Radak here says, I mean, everyone in L'Choy is saying the same thing. Of course, everything is b'hashkocha. You can't say there's not hashkocha. But it's a different type of hashkocha. It's a lighter hashkocha. Hashem does not intervene to the same degree. And the Umos Olam, they're like animals. The only time HaKadosh Baruch Hu will intervene is only when there's Chomos Gadol, when there is a major injustice in the world, then Hashem will indeed step in and destroy them. Like the Dor HaMabul, the Dor HaFlaga, Stom VaAmora. But if society is behaving themselves pretty much, it's not a Chomos Gadol, so whatever happens, happens. Unless Hashem needs the Goyim to bring reward or punishment for Klal Yisrael, Hashem will then use them as his tool, as a pawn, to help Klal Yisrael. But Klal Yisrael is under the intense hashgacha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
The Targum Takkah says very clearly about the first thing about what people are Mahara, the Ethan.
Right, he quoted that. The Radak, the Rashi quoted. The Rashi quoted that. Oh no, not Rashi. The Radak quoted that originally.
Your Radak quoted.
Oh, okay. Because I have a full edition. Okay, you're right. Okay, right. Uda atun meharin udeslikas al libchain kodamai galion. It's revealed before me your thoughts. The atun armin. Okay, kiaruach shechenes kiaruach the ruach and the lev is the same. Okay, so this is now. So now we come to the next pasuk. It's just a continuation of this thought. Now, before we go further, let me just quote you some Amori Chazal, and this pasuk is a very critical pasuk. We all are aware. We've all heard this, that the carbon oila is a kapara for hirhur avera. Why do we bring a carbon chatas for action? A person is mechalal Shabbos chas v'shalom b'shegeg. Does one of the lamed test melachos? He is mechuyev to bring a carbon chatas. A person eats chelef, he brings a carbon chatas. A person is nichshel in an erva, b'shoygek, he brings a carbon chatas. Very good. What's a carbon oila? It's a matana. It's a gift. No, Chazal say an oila is also a kapara. It's a kapara for hirhor avera, a thought, a machshavara. A person has a hearer, a plan to do an avera, and he never carries out that avera. So there is a degree of chet, and that chet requires kapara. Why? Now that's also a chiddush, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu holds a thought, can you imagine? A thought that goes through a person's mind is also significant, that it requires kapara. And the carbon oila is which grants kapara. How do you know that? Prove it to me. Show me a pasuk in Tanakh that says that a carbon oila is mechaper for a hirhurei avera. So you'll tell me, you don't need a pasuk. Halacha lemosha misina. That's fine. But we have better. The Gemara says, this is the pasuk. V'ho oila. Why did the pasuk use the expression of describing a thought with the word v'ho oila al ruchachem? We could have just said, there could have been other ways to describe this idea, is that what you're thinking about is not correct. The fact that the pasuk chose this, the word v'ho'ila al-ruch, to express the idea of a thought with the word v'ho'ila is teaching you that the carbon oila is what's going to be mechaper for al-ruchachem. Unbelievable pasuk. Okay, look. I read what it says in the Yerushalmi in Mesechta Yoima, Perek Ches, Mishneh Zayin, V'ho'ile Mechaperes al Hirhur Halev. How do you know? This is my timer. this pasuk in Yecheskel. Ve'ho'ilo al ruchachem ho'yolo siyeh kiloimar korban oilo hi al ruchachem. Masha atem mechashvim bilavavchem, the oil is come to mechaper for a machshava ra. And then they go. Then they have another. Then there's a Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin, which we went through this entire idea. We did the Gemara. B'Shmuel Amar Bo Asar Bnei Adam Yoshu Lefanav Lefnei Hanavi. Now this is very. This is interesting because we learned. When we started this sugya, when we started this parak, I told you who were these people. Who were the people that came before Yechezkel to seek guidance? So I told you that it was Hananiah and Mishael Azariah, or it was a group of Rishoyim, or it was a group of different, or a group of Tzadikim, all different opinions who they were. So the Gemara says there were 10 people. Shmuel Amar, Bohu Asara Bnei Adam, the Yashu Lefanav. And here the Gemara just quotes the Pesukim, really gives them, adds more flavor to the entire Perek. What did they say? Amar Lohem, Chizru. So Yechezkel said to these 10 people, Chizru b'shuva. So Amrulo, these 10 Rishohim said to Yechezkel, we're not mechuyif to. Eved, shemechor rabbi, v'isha shegir shabala, klum yesh lo zeh al zeh klum. If a man divorces his wife, does she have to come and make him supper every night? Does the slave have to come and shine your shoes? Right? Amar l'Hakadosh Baruch Hu l'Navik, lechem Elohem. Whoever told you, when did I ever divorce you? Eize sefer Christos. This is the pasuk in Yeshaya. Eize sefer Christos imchem asher shilachtiha. Show me your divorce. I never gave you a divorce. Oy, mi minoy shai asher mecharti eschem lohein. Who of my creditors did I sell you to? Who? Tell me. Show me the deed of the creditor to whom I've sold the nation as slaves to. I didn't sell you to anyone else. I didn't divorce you. Therefore, ba'avonoseichem nimkartem uvipisheichem shulucha imchem. In other words, you've just been temporarily sent away. Therefore, va'oil al ruchachem hoyolosiyeh ki ashatem ba'omrim niyeh kagoyim. Then he quotes the pasuk over here. V'chulu v'chulu. And then the Gemara concludes with something very frightening. Omer Rav Nachmon. Okay, so this really goes into the next pasuk. Miyitein. Kol ki hay ritzcho lirtach rachmona alon v'leif roikinan. Halavai, if only Hashem should express His anger upon us and redeem us. Okay, now that really ties into the next pasuk. Let's right away go to the next pasuk. And this pasuk is a very frightening pasuk. And then before we do the pasuk, let me read you what it says over here in this sefer called the Mincha Gedoyla, in the name of, guess who? The Abarbanel. Okay, the name of the Abarbanel. I'll just read you the Hagdama to this pasuk. I don't know if you have this in your edition, the Mincha Gedoyla. Do you have that? Okay, in my edition I have a Mincha. And he writes over here, Moireinu Harav Yitzchak Abarbanel Zal, Hanavua Hazos Atsuma Himeoid. The next pasuk is awesome. It's awesome. Rohui lase slave oleha. Pay close attention to what it says. Kiruba koronu. Most of it has happened. Viroinu beinenu bagolus hamar vahanimhar. We've seen every word of this happen. Now bitter gulfs. The Spanish Inquisition, the expulsion. Okay, expulsion, the Inquisition. All of this he saw in his own eyes. Hazeh shanachnu bo besoch bnei Edom. He's writing about himself, what he went through in his people and his time. Vinyano, what would he say about the Holocaust? What would he say about Tach V'Tat? What would he say about Crusades already happened? What would he say? Tach V'Tat, right? What would he say about Tat? Tatnu already happened. Tatnu happened. But what would he say about Tach V'Tat? What would he say about the Holocaust? He was talking in the 15th century. But in Yana ain't Sophic, Shaloy Niskaim of Vinyana, ain't Sophic, Shaloy Niskaim Begolus Bubble. So he says, this pasuk, it's very interesting what he says. This pasuk, you know, you read it, Yechezkel is talking. So you learn the psukim, he's referring to what's going to happen in Golus Bavel. The Barbanel says, I'm sorry, I have the history books. What it says here in these psukim did not happen in the time of Bavel. It didn't happen. So what, you're going to make Yechezkel into a liar? You made it to a liar? So obviously Yechezkel was referring to something many, many years later, 1,000 years later. Which generation? My generation. That's what he says, the Barbanel. Vinyana ain't Sophic. That's Ein Safek Sheloi Niskaima Begolus Bavel. What it says in the Psukim did not happen. That's a chiddush otzum to say such a thing. Because it's not, you're not going to find Rishonim talking like that. You're going to say, this happened at the time. And of course, the reason why it's preserved forever is because we can reinterpret, we can also interpret the Psukim in reference to our generation. Ayin Panim Torah. He says, there's only one shot in the Psukim, and that's for us. It was not even said for them. Forget about them. And there's no suffix that I'm right about this. Elo begolus edom asher nachnu bo, shebnei Yisrael mipnei tzorois, hagezerois, vehashmodois, umipnei charvois, hoivim, the sword of the enemy, yotzu michlal hadas, they abandoned the faith. The Muranos. He says they all because of the tzars, the Inquisition, they've all left the fold. V'choshvu liyois ki goyei ho'aratzos. V'osu, and they have done, ze b'choshvam, shebeze tosur mehem hashkochas Hashem yisbrach v'yetzu michoivas shmiris terosai, v'lo yipol aleyem, the people make the mistake and they think that they're not responsible. V'lo yipol aleyem b'avur ze charoin apov li'oynish kiloysa v'yu kimishpachos v'adamo la'avoid es Elohim v'yozu l'mikri hazman l'amrachot ha'shamayim v'yu mutzlochim b'maseyem k'atzlochas ha'am mahem. It goes on, it's very, very long, it goes on over here. But it's just shocking how he says that this is talking about the 15th century, what he experienced. People said Hashem has abandoned us, and we're no longer under his hashkacha, so we have no obligation to serve Hashem, and if we want to be successful, it's in our best interest to convert and to join the Umay Sa'ilam. This was the Nisayin. Now, to some degree, was that really true in the Holocaust? There was not a common attitude in the Holocaust to the same degree that it was in the time of the Spanish Inquisition, is where people...
Well, there they, you know. They were able. You know, if they converted. So
they were able. There was a choice. They were present. Right. Holocaust. There was no choice. It just was clean. And even it was different. So
the problem was they came after them. Even if they converted, because they let him go for a while. But then when they were still rising to the top, then the Inquisition came after the people who converted as well, because they didn't believe them.
Very interesting. Is that this really is focusing on that very, according to his interpretation, that very specific point in time. Now, how does Hashem react?
Excuse me, the Haftorah, where the Abarban El Kostitu, which is the Sheds of Ketzef, the Rega Koton HaSaftif, and the Abarban El says, what, are you kidding me? This is Berega Koton HaSaftif. It's the 1500s now, and look where we are.
Nothing has changed.
It's 1,000 years have passed, and it didn't get any better. That's what you call Berega Koton? That's what he gives you shot at.
After World War One. There was a thought going through my Machshava, Ashgafa, that the reason there was a war was to show the Yidden that you couldn't be Austrian and you were shooting soldiers from Austria against Hungary, against Russia, that the Jews were mixed up.
All of them.
They're really one. They should be cohesive. They should be actors. Because you had soldiers from...
Both sides, so fighting each other.
Fighting against each other. You had displacement of populations throughout Europe. And later, how do you say later in English?
Unfortunately,
what happened later was that the German Jews held German, that they didn't care about the Polish Jews who were being exercised, and today people say, well, only the Ashkenazim went through the Holocaust, the Sephardim didn't. The Pilug, you know, as much as we wanted to be like Kol HaGoyim, it didn't help.
It didn't make a difference. The Goyim.
They said, you're still going to get the Golos together.
Well, let's read the next pasuk. Next pasuk is Chayani. Look at these powerful words. Chay Hashem, I swear, Nu'um Hashem, Elokim. Imlo. Imlo also means to swear. Imlo is a double shvua. Biyod chazaka uvizroya nituya uvichema shifucha, with a strong hand and with an outstretched arm. And chema's anger, a pouring out of anger. Imloi chalechem, I will rule upon you. Very, very frightening pasuk. Let's see the Mitzudos pasuk Lamed Gimel. The Mitzudos Lamed Gimel Imloy Hu Inyan Shavua Shenishba Loima Shebe Al Korcham, against their will. Hashem will force them with chema shefucha la'avodas Hashem. Hashem will force us to serve Him even in galus. Make no mistake that you're not free from mimukayim the mitzvahs. Let's see Rashi. Rashi, there is none on pasuk. We already did really in the previous page. And let's see the radak on pasuk lamed gimel. Even though the hashkocha hagiluya, the revealed hashkocha is not apparent, and to carry upon them the or Hashem with blessing, with good and bracha, the cholzos. My malchus will be upon them. Od nituyo yodi hachazaka lachris eschem to lachriach eschem to force you betoygef oynoshim with punishment, with mighty punishments. Liyois vitzorois liyois talchus malchusi ve'avdusi to be my servants. Okay, so this is a very. There is no, we have no choice but to, Hashem will make us do His will even when we are in Golus. There's one Maamar Chazal in this Pasuk, on Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara quotes this Pasuk in Rosh Hashanah, we know that we have to say 10 Psukim of Malchiyos, Zichroinois, and Shaifas. And the Gemara says that this Pasuk, maybe you would suggest, would be a candidate for one of the 10 Psukim. Because in this Pasuk it says, Emloich Aleichem. So if you're searching through Tanakh to find psukim for Malchios, you have three from Chumash, three from Nevi'im, three from Kisuvim. So the question is, does this pasuk that we have just read, is it valid to be one of the three psukim from Nevi'im for the 10 psukim of Malchios on Rosh Hashanah? And the Gemara says, no. Why not? We don't want a pasuk of Peronis. Here the Malchus is a Malchus of Peronis. The Gemara says, Ein mazkidin zikaroin malchus v'shoifar shel puranos. Don't take a pasuk that mentions malchus, but for the bad. What's the example? This pasuk. Kigoyin chai oni numa Hashem lokim im loy biyor chazaka v'zorei tuya v'vachem v'shefucha em loch aleichem. Now the af akal the gemara here is what I mentioned before. Even though the gemara over here says kol ki ayritzcha lirtach kutsha bruchu alon v'lifrei kinan. That what's so bad about this pasuk? Let it happen already. Let's already get it over with. Let's already suffer the chema shefucha, because there's light at the end of the tunnel. If we're going to witness the yod chazaka, the zroya netuya, and the chema shefucha, okay, it's horror. But what comes after? What comes after is emloich aleichem. So he says it's not so bad. There's light at the end of the tunnel. Doesn't matter. It does, but why kevon de berischa omur ad kure rischa beresh shata loy mad kirinan? It doesn't matter. Just because there's light at the end of the tunnel in this pasuk, it's still not appropriate to focus on the yom hadin. Liyos lachem elokim. Okay, that's the next pasuk. Al karcham yachol limitz. Okay, that's really the next pasuk. Liyos mishem for next time with the pasuk lamed aleph.